So if you work, you have certain expectations for your employer, right? You have an expectation that your employer is going to provide for you a clean, safe work environment. You have an expectation that you're going to get your wages paid on payday. You have an expectation for any other benefits that just are commensurate with the job that you have. If you're an employer, you have certain expectations of your employees. You expect they're going to do the job you hired them to do. You expect that they're going to show up for work on time. And you expect they're going to represent you well. There's an exchange of expectations. If you're a parent, you have very distinct expectations for your kids. And you enforce those expectations. Even spouses have expectations for each other, very specific expectations, as we should. It's both beneficial and healthy for us to have expectations for others and to understand that others have expectations of us. But it should also make us realize, be aware, that Jesus also has expectations for us, those whom he loves. He does have expectations. Does it make you uncomfortable thinking that Jesus has expectations of you? I love knowing that Jesus has expectations of me. Because I know that Jesus is not going to expect more out of me than what he's already empowered me to do. So the higher his expectations are for me, the higher I can climb in him. His expectations heighten my expectations of what I can do, of who I can be in Jesus Christ. So expectations are good, they're healthy. So I guess the next relevant question to ask ourselves then is, what does Jesus expect out of us? Well, clearly that's something that we could go in a lot of different directions and take more than just one morning to talk about. But what I want to talk about today is just one topic. It's one element of that that's going to benefit us in every area of our daily lives for Jesus. And it's also going to benefit us in our service to Jesus as well. Jesus expects us to expand. Not the belt-loosening kind of expansion that we would like to think of, but this is an expansion where he expects us. He expects us to expand in our capacity for his victories. He expects us to enlarge in our area of influence in the lives of other people. He expects us to expand in our capacity to work in and have his power working through us as we continue to expand our understanding of the authority that we have in Jesus. These are the expectations that he has for us. Jesus has expectations for us, whom he loves. He has expectations for us. These are the expectations that we should live up to as well. Too often people get saved and they stay right there. Their level of expectation for living the daily Christian life goes no deeper than just escaping hell, which, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's a great thing. Admittedly, that's an awesome thing. But Jesus expects us to do more with that precious gift that he gave us. There's expectations that he has for us. But again, he doesn't expect more of us than he's empowered us to already do. So all we have to do is just acknowledge and know he's empowered us. Whatever he's asked us to do, whatever he expects us to do, he's empowered us to do it. So there's no pressure. All we have to do is just be faithful to do what he's called us to do. We just have to continue to be faithful. Jesus died so that you could have relationship with the Father, something that would be impossible outside of Jesus Christ. So in this redeemed relationship that we have, we are now joint heirs with Jesus. That means that we share in everything that he won in his victory over sin and death. We share in all of that. The expectation is that we will continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus. That's the expectation. That we'll continue to grow and to be the things that he calls us to be. To stretch our faith in ways that we never have before. The expectation is that we will reach those levels of expectation that he has for us so that we can live our lives as victorious overcomers in Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that all make sense? All right, so your level of expectation for your life and for your day, every day, your level of expectation should be equal to his level of expectation for you. We need to expand our level of expectation expand our level of expectation for His victory, for His power, and for His authority operating in our lives. Expand your expectations. If there's anyone that thinks that they've fully achieved all that you can be, and you've expanded to the full extent of the expectations He has for you, He's got far more for us. And that's exciting. But again, that's not intimidating, because He doesn't expect us to do more than what He's already empowered us to do. That's good news, and that's encouraging. Here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 2. And this is the verse we're going to build upon. I want you to remember this verse and keep coming back to it. We're going to build upon this throughout the morning. Isaiah 54, verse 2 says, "Enlarge the place. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Read that again. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare." We spare an awful lot. "Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Enlarge. Stretch out your expectations. Stretch out your expectations. Believe for even more. Enlarge means, actually, to open up space. Have we opened up space for Jesus to do even greater things in our lives? You know, when you open up space, it says to Jesus that you're ready to receive more. Open up space. Pull back that curtain behind which we get comfortable. Pull back that curtain. And stretch your faith to believe for things in Jesus Christ that you've never believed for before. Lengthen your tent cords. Open up space for Jesus to move supernaturally in your life and through you. If you want to see the supernatural, we have to enlarge our place of dwelling. Make sense? And you guys are even more quiet than usual. There's more of you here than normal. You're more quiet. You know what? It is okay to acknowledge when you hear something, especially from His Word, that you believe and you want to receive. If you remember back a year, at the start of this year, I said one of the things that God taught me was to write things down. Because as you write things down, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. As you write down the things that I reveal to you, by your writing it down, it shows me that you appreciate and you respect what I've told you. Because I've forgotten so many things. Well, by the same token, if there's something that you receive, it's okay. You can make some noise. You don't have to do it for me. But you know what? If you hear something that you want to receive, it's no different than writing it down. As you acknowledge it and say, "Amen, that's for me," whatever. You are saying, "I'm taking that truth, that principle as myself. I'm taking it to myself." So don't do it for me, but do it because you want these truths to be truths in your life. So Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 2. In that verse, He's telling us that He has more force than even we expect. Jesus has more for you in your life than even you're thinking or even that you're expecting. But He tells us to enlarge the place of our tent. What happens when you enlarge a tent? When you enlarge your tent, when you move those stakes outward, you're possessing more. This is us possessing more of the things that God, that Jesus has already prepared for us. This is what He wants us to do, to receive those things. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. God had a promised land already prepared for them, but they had to go and possess it. They had to possess what He prepared for them. Well, you've got a better promised land. You have every promise that Jesus Christ has spoken to you in this Word. These are your promises. You've got a far better promised land than anything that the Israelites had. But we can't just dwell in that place of comfort that we tend to gravitate to. We can't get comfortable in that spiritual place. We have to possess more. In order for you to possess more, you got to make room for more. You know, we've been praying for Kayla and John, and I'm really proud of Kayla and John for just their faith. If you don't know, they had a fire, was that 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. And pretty much their house is gone. They have to get a new house. A lot of their belongings are gone as well. Thank you for those of you that have already helped with both of them. But you know what? If Kayla and John, if they were going to get everything new, if they're going to get a whole new bedroom set, a whole new dining room set, a whole new living room set, a whole new study, a whole new knickknacks, a whole new kitchen, appliances, if they were going to get all of that new, even down to the books and the things, the little knickknacks on the shelves, if they were going to get all of that new, they couldn't get all of that new until they got their house. They would have to make room for it before they could receive it. Well, the same thing is true for us. We have to make room. This is what it's talking about when it says, enlarge the place of your tent. We're opening up space for him to move in our lives in greater ways than we've seen him move before. This is what he wants from us, and this is what we should be wanting as well. This is the greater promised land that you have. The Bible tells us that the Israelites possessed the land little by little. So God had already provided the promised land for the Israelites. He made it for them. But here's what they had to do. So God provided the promised land. Once the Israelites entered into the promised land, little by little they took possession of it. So they would possess a certain portion of it. They would build upon it. They would establish it. And then once it's established, they would stretch themselves to possess more. Here's how it actually says it in Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You'll be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. The Israelites possess the promised land little by little. Little by little, they expanded their possessions. This is the model for you and I in our lives. We need to enlarge our tents, make room for more, and then possess the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. And once you possess it, you establish it in your life. And once it's established, then you stretch yourself a little bit more and you possess more of the promises that you have in Jesus Christ, until you become a victorious overcomer in Jesus in all areas of your life. This is what he has for us. You know, by way of example, just this week, my pastor's daughter, her name is Holly, she posted something on Facebook. And she posts a lot of things on Facebook, but a lot of times it's not the personal things that she puts. So it kind of surprised me. And she posted on Facebook and she said she was asking for prayer for healing. Asking people to pray for healing. Now, she's the praise and worship leader at the church in Lima. And she's been having all kinds of numbness in her fingers. Well, it's precluding her from being able to play the guitar, which means she can't lead praise and worship. This is what she does, and this is her passion. And you could tell she was very discouraged. So I sent her a private Facebook message. And I told her a story of something that happened to me a couple of years ago. About 2.5 years ago, I had some kind of, I don't know what happened to my shoulder, but if I'd lift my arm higher than this, man, extreme pain. Or if I'd put my arm back any farther than this, I couldn't play softball, that's for sure. Because I didn't have any range of motion. Anything down this and this was extreme pain. I prayed over it. I spoke over my shoulder. I spoke to my shoulder. I told my shoulder to line up with the Word of God. I told my shoulder that it was healed in the name of Jesus and to obey. And you know what? It didn't get healed. You know, weeks went by and it was the same. And then one morning I was in the shower and I had shampoo in my right hand. And I was getting ready to put shampoo in my hair. And I braced myself for the eventual pain that I knew was coming when my arm got up to here. And as soon as I braced for it and I felt that pain, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You were expecting that pain. You were anticipating the pain before there was any pain. You were ready for the pain." That's not faith. He said to me, "You've already prayed. Just praise me and thank me for it and don't think about it." I had spent weeks thinking about it and I didn't realize how I was protecting myself and I was anticipating what I expected to take place. I was expecting the pain. I got the pain. But within days, that had been months, within days of that, I could move my arm. I've had no problems with it ever since then. So I related that story to her, and she sent this message back to me, And I copied and pasted it because I wanted you to hear her words exactly as she spoke them. I love this. Amen. I receive that, and I will put that into practice. I will not accept a diagnosis because I recognize that this is the enemy. He will not shut off or limit my worship and praise to the Father. I will put this into practice, and as I'm typing right now, the numbness has actually just left me. Ha 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 ha. Thank you so much, Jesus. That's enlarging your tent. That is lengthening the tent cords. Expect to have the promises. Expand your expectation. Enlarge your expectation for the promises of Jesus Christ in your life. Because this is what he has for us. This is what he expects for us. And that's not a pressure. That's a benefit. That's a blessing. And that's a joy. So if we're to enlarge our tents, it's kind of helpful for us to understand what our tents are symbolic of. Biblically, tent refers to the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where God met with man when the Israelites were still in the wilderness. And for several hundred years, almost 300 years after that, when the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was in Shiloh. The tent refers to that tent of meeting, that which is where God met with man before the temple was built in Jerusalem. Now, today, according to the Word of God, we, this body, our bodies, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So his presence dwells within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's us today. But this is what's amazing. We are still tents of meeting. That's how Peter describes us. This is what Peter says when he's describing this natural body. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. I think it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, tent, body, to stir you up by way of remembrance. By the Lord telling us to enlarge our tents, and we'll come back to that verse in a second, but by the Lord telling us to enlarge our tents, what he's saying is, just as the Israelites had to enlarge their tents, they had to enlarge their territory by possessing the promised land, so must we enlarge our tents, enlarge our spiritual territory by possessing the fullness of the power and the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that make sense? That's what he's telling us. That's the explanation that he has for us. So let's go back to what Peter said. I think it right as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this tent body, that's the Amplified Bible, by the way, to stir you up by way of remembrance. What's Peter's point in telling us this? Why is he saying this? Well, if we go back and we read a number of verses earlier, still in 2 Peter chapter 1, if we go back, we're going to see what Peter is stirring up inside of us. In verse number 3, I'm just going to condense this down for you. In verse number 3, Peter is teaching us that the divine power of Jesus Christ has provided everything that you need for this life according to the knowing of Jesus. So the divine power of Jesus has provided everything that you need. Whatever you need in life, it's already provided, already done in the knowing of Jesus. Then in verse number 4, he goes on to tell us, to teach us, that this growing knowledge of Jesus, how do we grow? We grow step by step. We grow little by little. We don't just grow at once. You're not going to see Tilly when you come next Sunday. You're not going to see Tilly as a full-grown adult. It's going to take her a few years. Yes. We grow little by little. So what Peter is telling us, that in that growing in our knowledge of him, what he says, what he teaches us in verse 4, in that growing in our knowing of Jesus Christ, we become partakers in his divine nature. We become partakers in his divine nature. So how then do we follow his command to enlarge our tents. How do we do that? We do that by knowing Him. It's an everyday process of knowing Him personally and intimately, getting to know Jesus better, becoming a partaker of His divine nature. And let me tell you something, His divine nature supersedes the nature of this flesh, which is good news. Partake in His nature, and you will become a victorious overcomer in all things, in everything in your life, because in Jesus and in the divine nature, He's already provided everything that you need. It is already provided and established. Now, as we stay in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would continue reading, so I gave you a synopsis of verse 3 and verse 4. If you would continue reading, you would see that Peter spends a lot of verses giving us specific instructions on how we are to develop that little by little growth in knowing Him. Let's look at those. These are verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. You get a sense of that little by little growing in that knowing of Jesus. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For in these things, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us how to expand our tents, how to enlarge our tents. It's in the knowing of Him. And we know Him by day, getting to know Him. It's a little by little process. It's a building upon itself. He goes on to say this then in verse number 11. So still 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 11. I'm going to show this to you in the Amplified Bible. Thus there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is reminding us that we dwell in these tents of the flesh. But also dwelling in these tents is the very Spirit of God Himself. The Holy Spirit dwells within these tents. The more that you know Jesus Christ, the more you become a partaker in His divine nature, even while you dwell in this tent of the flesh. That's amazing. And then it says, if we enlarge our tents, we enter in to His eternal kingdom. The eternal kingdom that Peter is talking about here, he's talking about more than just spending eternity with Jesus Christ after this life. Again, I'm not minimizing that. Thank you very much, Jesus. That is great. But what Peter's talking about is more than that. What he's talking about is he's actually speaking about seeing the kingdom of God, of seeing the spiritual realm realities manifested here in this life. That's what Peter's talking to us. That's what he's referring to. That's what he's telling us. Here's the amazing thing. This is amazing. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to the kingdom of God. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us with His awesome power. Enlarge your tents. Because when you enlarge your tent, by enlarging our tent, we are opening up space for Him to move with power through us. That is His expectation for us. That should be our expectation for us. Jesus moving with power through us. Peter's teaching us that the more that we know God, the more that we are then enlarging our tents. And as we enlarge our tents, we are actually bringing the kingdom of God from the spiritual realm into this natural realm by His power. That's what's taking place. That's what's happening when we do this. So what exactly is the kingdom of God? I'll tell you, it's more than just that place where God is seated on His eternal throne. It's more than just that. Again, what Peter's talking about, and we've talked about this before, here's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is when we get those glimpses into the spiritual world when we stand on the Word of God. When we speak the word and stand on the word and we see those glimpses, those realities, those spiritual realm realities taking place. It's when we see those spiritual realm realities, those greater realities, displacing the natural realm realities, the lesser realities, as we stand in faith. So in other words, whatever you're experiencing, it's a natural reality to you, but it's not the greatest reality. The greater, the more powerful, the stronger reality is the spiritual reality. And the kingdom of God is when we see, because we stand in faith and we stand on the word, and we see those spiritual realities displacing the natural realities. So when I stand in the natural reality says that my shoulder hurts if I do this or this, the kingdom of God is when I stand on the word of God and I see the spiritual realm reality, which says I'm healed in Jesus' name, displace the natural realm reality so they have no pain and no discomfort. This is what Jesus is showing us and teaching us. When we enlarge our tents, I want you to think about this. Picture this in your mind. When we enlarge our tents, we're opening up space within these tents of the flesh for the kingdom of God to have room to enter from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. Let me say that again to make sure you get that picture. When we enlarge our tents, what we're doing is opening up space in these tents of the flesh so that the kingdom of God has room to enter from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. In other words, we've got a part to play in seeing those spiritual realities and seeing all those things that Jesus has expectations for us to walk in victory as overcomers. We've got a part to play. We have to make room for that to take place. This is the function of enlarging our tents. So how important is this concept of the kingdom of God? Well, consider the final message that Jesus had before he left this world and ascended into heaven. After Jesus' resurrection, there was a 40-day period before his ascension that Jesus appeared multiple times to his disciples and to other believers. Here's what Luke, the author of Acts, says about that. This is Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. To whom he also presented himself, speaking about Jesus, to whom he also presented himself alive. So he's talking about when Jesus appeared. This is after his resurrection. He appeared, showed himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by many during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days, Jesus had one consistent message that he was giving to his followers. One consistent message. One consistent message before he departed and was seated at the right hand of God in victory. One consistent message. That message was the kingdom of God. If that's the last message that he had, don't you think we should pay some close attention to it? Because he spent 40 days telling us about that message. Jesus' one final consistent message was the kingdom of God. If you read that verse in the Wycliffe Bible, it says the realm of God. This is making it clear that we're talking about the spiritual realm. So Jesus is speaking about the unseen things of the spiritual realm. Those things which are prepared for you. Those things that are ours. But we have to possess them. And we possess them by enlarging our tent and making room to receive them. How do we enlarge our tent and make room? It's by knowing Him. Getting to know Him better, personally, intimately, knowing Jesus. Ourselves. So what's the expectation that Jesus has for us? He expects us to enlarge our tents. He expects us to make room to receive all of the power of His promises in our lives. What does that look like? Well, we see an example of that in Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God, you feel like you're least? You feel like you're not an overcomer. You feel like you're not victorious. You feel like you're the least in the kingdom. He that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the one that Jesus said, John the Baptist, was greater than anyone born of woman up until that time. You and I, living now in the victory of Jesus Christ, if you are the least in the kingdom, you are greater than John the Baptist, who he said was the greatest. That tells you an awful lot of where you stand. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, that's intriguing. You want to know what that means? We're going to pick up that next week. That's where we're going to pick it up. Know that Jesus has expectations for us. And the expectation is for us to enlarge those tents so that we can receive more of what he has. So that we can then be extreme in all areas of our lives so that people see that power of Jesus Christ at work through us. Amen? Everybody receive that? Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We do open up. We expand. We enlarge our tents. We will move those 10 stakes outward so that we have room to receive more of what you have planned and prepared for us. We thank you and praise you. Holy Spirit, remind us every single day. Remind us to spend that time and to make that effort. To get to know you personally and intimately. Jesus, to know you more. We thank you and praise you as you show us and teach us and grow us in this. We are ready to have room for more of you. We praise you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship this morning.